As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Job, chapter 28, and the 11th verse. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. Chapter 28, the book of Job, and the 11th verse. This is a word which you do not need to be told, dropped from the lips of Job long ago. And the word itself is in a sublime setting, for in the chapter where the subject is found, Job has been speaking about the realm of nature, but there is a deep that coucheth beneath. I will not take up time in approaching the subject to go into how Job looks upon the realm of nature, but it is evident that he was well instructed therein, and he would be in sweet agreement with our hymn writer, "Nature with open volume stands to spread her maker's praise abroad, and every labour of his hands shows something worthy of a God." And then, in his description, he comes to this word I have read for the text. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. I do wonder if deep down in his breast, dear Job found this word to be a word from which he could suck some sweetness in his soul's experience, because Job was experiencing the floods which had been let loose in his life. The book of Job, as you all know, is the oldest book in the Holy Bible, book divine. And in the opening chapters, it tells us about Job as to who he was, and that in his day he was the richest man in the East. And it is wonderful to contemplate how well taught of God Job was, how instructed in things divine, when there was not one page of the Holy Bible for him to read. Job had to deal with God, with whom he had to do, and do all his business regarding his soul's eternal welfare in heaven's own marketplace, and gain by trading there. And then there was that memorable day when he awoke in the morn, as I said, the richest man in the East, and at the end of it, the floods had broken out, and Job was well nigh overwhelmed. One event after another had happened during the day, and at the end of it, the floods had been raging, but they did not overflow, although they threatened to do so. And one thing that was hidden, of a truth, was brought to light. The religion that God had wrought in Job's breast. And he gives the evidence of it. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Puritans, in their writings, which often set forth the deep things of God, say much about being able to bless a taking God. And you might think over that, dear friends. You can understand People thought of God blessing a giving God. But to realize God is good when he gives, supremely good, nor less when he denies. And that when he takes, he has a right to do it. It is the Lord, enthroned in light, whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. Oh, you need much grace to reduce that line of things to practice in your lips and life. And as I view the dealings of God with Job, Job was enabled to do it. And he said, what? Shall we not receive good at the hand of the Lord? Shall we not receive evil? The word evil meaning trouble. And he gets right down to a wondrous bedrock experience as he views the dealings of God. Although they were so hard to be understood, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Lord, increase our faith to do likewise. And now I want to look at this subject, not saying much more, it may be, about Job and the dealings of God with Job. I want to look at it from two viewpoints. This is a great truth that Job proclaimed, and there is something that needs to be pondered in our hearts as you read. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, and then he goes on until he reaches this word, from which I hope grace will be given to say something helpful to you. You remember, the word of God tells us concerning Jesus Christ and his disciples, and without a parable spake he not unto them. And the multitude heard the parable, but when he was alone, then he expounded all things to his disciples. And now, this word before us then, while it tells us at first reading something to do with the realm of nature, as I said, there is a deep that coucheth beneath, and it is a parable. And in the exposition of it, there is that which is profitable, helpful for people taught of God to lay to heart. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. I will look at some of the floods. First of all, and when a sinner is wrought upon by the Spirit of God, as he is wrought upon, it may not always be by terrible things in righteousness. I want you ever to keep that in mind. God is a sovereign in how he leads his dear people into the truth, which is essential for their soul's eternal welfare. Some he is pleased to teach by terrible things in righteousness. And they have something in their soul's experience as the outcome of it that is very definite and clear-cut. But as I understand it, the great majority of people taught of God are taught as you read in Isaiah. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, but be sure of this, and they shall be all taught of God, and if they are, they will find the floods raging within and from without, and they will need God in his infinite condescension to bind the floods from overflowing, lest they sink therein to rise no more. This is a good word to contemplate. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. It is a great mercy that God is pleased to do it. And now the first flood is that which arises when a sinner, being born again, begins to enter into a knowledge of what he is by nature. I have said to you many times in my long ministry about the importance and the necessity, yea, I have counseled you to ask God to give you a gracious conviction of sin. I thought on that lately in the counsel I have given you. And if you should be in earnest and heed it, if you should say deep down in your heart, convince us of our sin, then you must expect that you will find floods raging within you. Solomon refers to a character which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. And now, when the Adam fall took place, I need take up no time in describing it, for you are all familiar with the details of it. When sin entered into the world, and death by sin, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And when the Adam fall took place, then there was a flood let loose. Sin began to rage like a flood. And it has been increasing ever since, down through the ages. The ruin wrought in the Adam fall has been made more and more evident, until you see the world in these perilous times is just flooded with wickedness beyond words to describe. And as you look on it, you are made aware, if you are taught of God, that what you see of the wickedness in the world without is wrought in you as you were born. What you are by nature produces it. And it is only by the grace of God that what you are by nature is kept from overflowing and doing great mischief to you, and it may be to other folks with whom you have to do. I want you to think these things over, my friends. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall convince the world of sin. There is a distinction to be made between the word convict and the word convince. I would have you think on that. A man might be brought up in the court before the magistrate and be convicted, charged of doing this or that. But if that man was not guilty of what he was charged with doing, you could not convince that man of his guiltiness. But if the charge is made and declared and proved, and then at length the prisoner pleads guilty, he is convinced. There's a distinction between conviction and being convinced of sin. There are many people who have a conviction of sin that is just the outcome of emotion working in a natural conscience. And when they gather together some religion, the doings of the great I, and become chapel goers, church goers, as the case may be, then their conviction of sin dies a natural death, and they just become religious, and what they possess is religiosity. It is not religion that will do to live by and die by. But if the Spirit of truth convinces you of sin, you are brought down before God, with whom you have to do, and there you have to tell all the truth. You have to acknowledge your guiltiness before God in thought, word, and deed, and declare, not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. And you find, arising from what you are by nature as you were born, the flood rages. And you say, if my soul is sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. And you feel then, that is what you deserve. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is this good word to encourage such an one. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. And to that sinner, so wrought upon, brought in guilty before God, to put his mouth in the dust of self-abasement, if so be there may be hope, there will be a thing brought forth to light that is revealed in the gospel. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one which believeth. Yes, and there you will see the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And you will know, he bindeth the floods from overflowing. Yes. And you will learn the terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Saviour's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. And go back to what I said about being led into the truth by terrible things in righteousness. You see it illustrated in the Word of God. I think about that poor lad who is said in the Word of God to be lunatic. And it says, while he was yet a coming to Jesus, the devil threw him down and tear him. And I believe many people taught of God know what that line of things is. As they are wrought upon by the Spirit of God and convinced of sin, and their great concern is to get in touch with Jesus Christ and to realize his precious blood and its wondrous efficacy. But while they are yet a coming, as the Word of God says, the devil throws them down and tears them. But then you must not forget that lad, lunatic as he was, did ultimately get in touch with Jesus, and he learned this great truth: he bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth thee forth to light. And he was found clothed at Jesus' feet in a right mind. Ultimately, he bindeth the floods from overflowing. I can only give you hints about these floods to ponder in your heart. And now think of the floods too arising from what you are by nature as you journey through life. Crowds of ill thoughts, their bane diffuse, proud, envious, false, unclean, every ransacked corner shows an unsuspected sin. See how Job had to learn, deeper down than he had ever learned before, a little more of what he was by nature. Job was a man wonderfully well taught of God, and God speaks in such wondrous commendation of Job, my servant Job, a perfect man, one who is sincere before me, with whom he has to do, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. But as the floods began to rage, And as Job's friends, friends as they were, misjudged, misunderstood, and wounded dear Job, then what he was by nature was made more apparent. But there came a time when the Lord began to deal with Job. And the Lord spake unto Job out of the whirlwind. And when Job heard what God had to say, he went down before God with whom he had to do, and declared, "Behold, I am vile. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, I repent in dust and ashes." And now that was a thing brought to light in Job's experience that he did not realize so deep down before. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. When like the restless ocean, our hearts cast up uncleanness, flood after flood of mire and mud, and all is foul within us. Very solemn, setting forth of what is bottled up within us, arising from what one is by nature. You do need this to be done all day long. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Ever on thy captain calling, make thy worst condition known. He shall hold thee up when falling, or shall lift thee up when down. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. And then there is a flood sometimes when Satan seems to be let loose and you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Then Satan injects a flood of ifs and buts and hows, as the hymn writer puts it, and they are hurled to sink us in the gloom of all that's dismal in this world or in the world to come. Or it may be Satan lets loose a flood on you where it is calculated, if he can do what he designs, to overflow you and undo you altogether. He may approach you with what is your besetment, what just fits in with your natural temperament according to what you are by nature, and some temptation is placed before your eyes, and you find something in you ready to close in with it, and the flood begins to rage. Then you do need this word to be fulfilled. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. And you might remember how God had sure work about the floods being bound concerning dear Job. And he said to Satan, "You can put Job's religion to the test, whatever test you like. He is in thy hand. Spare his life." Remember that. Job was shut up in that word, "Your life is hid with Christ in God." And Satan was not allowed to touch that. He bindeth the floods. Floods of temptations from overflowing. Another flood may be affliction. And that may come on you suddenly. You do not know any day what affliction may come on you or yours. It would be well if you and I could be more on our watchtower in regard to everyday life. But there is that about us, and that arises from what we are by nature, whereby you go on from day to day, and every day seems to be just a replica of the day before. You find goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life, and there is a tendency to take it for granted. And then you may settle down and be somewhat at ease in your profession of Jesus' name. And then there dawns a day in your life and you find trouble like a gloomy cloud gathers thick and thunders loud. You find a flood breaking out among you or yours. It may come on you or those in your family circle. A flood which brings affliction in its way. And when it comes, it alters the outlook in life from that time on. And you have got to rearrange your circumstances, as it were, to meet the new situation which has suddenly arisen in your life. And then you see this truth is fulfilled. You see, he who is sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, making arrangements for you. And thus you learn, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And whatever affliction it is, which comes upon you or yours, he bindeth the floods from overflowing. And the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. And in afflictions, when they are sanctified, what is brought to light then is this, the needs be of it. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Yes, he bindeth the floods from overflowing. And if you look back, some of you, along life's way, as grace is given, you will find afflictions that have come on you or yours, have been in your soul's experience, just like the children of Israel, when they came to Marah, and found the waters thereof were bitter to drink. But then, at the waters of Marah, Moses cut down a tree, which when it was cast into the waters were made sweet. And you can think of afflictions where through the cross of Christ being made in your soul's experience a blessed reality, you could feel, though our cup seems filled with gall, there's something secret sweetens all. Yes, he bindeth the floods from overflowing. And the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. And then there is another flood, and that is the persecutions which may come upon the godly. The word of God says, every one that will live godly shall suffer persecution. And now, if you read, it would do you good if you can get the history of it to do it. If you read the history of the Church of Christ down through the ages, you will find the brightest chapters have been when persecution has raged like a flood, threatening to overflow the Church of Christ and blot it out. And then it has been so evident how God has appeared on behalf of his people and enabled them to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Yes, and he has fulfilled the word of his grace. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And though Satan has gained so much ground at times that the martyrs had to go to the stake or lay their heads on the block, they loved not their lives unto the death. But they obtain grace to help in that time of need. Yes. The thing that is hid bringeth thee forth to light. And what is brought forth to light then is that the religion that God creates in his people's hearts is supernatural. Yes. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. And then it is well to remember that he is pleased to do this when you look round the world as it is. The world lieth in wickedness as never before. But there are floods of error and evil raging worldwide. And sometimes they seem to rage with such fury, and they seem to make such progress, and the outcome is so much mischief wrought in the Church of Christ by error flooding therein. It is a wonderful mercy to contemplate such a truth as this from that viewpoint. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. Remember what I quoted, and they shall be all taught of God. So that no error, although sometimes people taught of God, may be wrought on by it and influenced for a while. Yet the ultimate issue, the Lord will deal with them and deliver them from any error in which they have become involved, and bring them back to bedrock truth. Remember that. So you look at the man of sin in the Vatican, and all the while through the ages there has been floods let loose from that center, and much mischief has been wrought in the earth on account of it. And there is the man of sin who is in the Kremlin, and his great aim is that the world should be overflowed with communism and that which is against God and godliness. And the floods rage, whether it be from the Vatican or the Kremlin, the floods keep raging. And those who support those evil systems emanating from hell itself are ready to work overtime that the floods may rage and overflow. Hey, our mercy is the Lord reigneth, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. And that will mean, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. It will not make one iota of difference to what God purposes to do regarding his dear people in making them to know his salvation, and that they shall be saved by grace and fitted and made meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. I say it will not make one iota of difference to what God purposes to do, although the man of sin in the Vatican shall still rage, and the man in the Kremlin likewise do so. And why? The word of God tells us concerning Jesus Christ, the church's living head, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Yes, it is a great mercy to contemplate that he bindeth the floods of error and evil from overflowing. But I want to make this very plain. Oh, it does not mean you are to just receive this truth as I have stated it and view what is happening in the world at large with a fatalistic eye. No. No. What are you to do? Ye should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Yes. As every opportunity is afforded you, let your lives and acts express the holy gospel you profess. Ye are my witnesses. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. And the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. If you should be helped to look round the world a little as it is at the present time, you will see there is some evidence that God is being pleased to do this, inasmuch as what godless men have set out to do, they have not yet been allowed to do it, and they will not be allowed to do it. In the book of Revelation, there is a striking word about floods, and it might help you to think on it. There is some figurative language which is used in the Revelation about the Church of Christ, which is set forth as the woman which brought forth the man-child. And then it goes on, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The thing to ponder is, the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood. You see things happening in the world that perplex us, and some things which may cause us alarm as we survey the things which are happening in the earth. But God is overruling these things. If I can turn aside a moment to illustrate this point, look at the world at the present time with Russia and Khrushchev at the head of it, as far as you can judge, preparing for nuclear war, that they might flood the earth and overflow it with their hellish doctrine. And if they alone were armed like that, there is no doubt whatever, unless God determined otherwise, that Khrushchev long ago would have set Russia going to conquer the earth. But you look the other side of the world, and you see the USA are just as well armed for nuclear warfare as Russia is, and therefore Russia is afraid to open the conflict because there will be retaliation and mischief wrought in Russia, which they do not want to be brought to pass. And now, to help you, dear young people, that is just a simple illustration of that word, and the earth helped the woman and opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood. So that with this apparent clashing of interests, God is taking the wise in their own craftiness. And he says, the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath he shall restrain. In other words, he bindeth the floods from overflowing. And the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. I cannot say much about these things, as I must soon come to the amen. One thing that is brought forth to light in the dealings of God with his dear people as these floods rage, one thing outstanding is the sovereignty of God. A very great truth, a wonderful truth, but you need much grace sometimes to humble yourself under the hand of God when he makes it plain in his dealings with you. To be able to feel, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And the sovereignty of God is brought to light, inasmuch as he makes plain, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. Yes. Another thing that is brought to light is our utter helplessness in things divine, our deep poverty, our utter ruin through the Adam fall and its influence upon us as we were born. And another thing that he bringeth forth to light is very terrible to contemplate. The carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. And this thing he bringeth forth to light. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is of the Lord, in every jot and tittle of it. And you say, when the floods are being bound, and the things of God are brought to light, if ever my poor soul is saved, this Christ must be the way. Not only so, another thing brought to light is this: if my people transgress, I will visit their transgressions with the rod, and their iniquities with stripes. You see the needs be of the rod. You realize it is essential for you, being the sinner that you are, and you are ready to say, deal gently with thy servant, Lord, and if the rod should needful be, thy seasonable aid afford, my soul in trouble flies to thee. The thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. And this is the thing he will bring forth to light. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, and because his compassions fail not. Thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, neither hast thou rewarded us according to our iniquities. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. And one more thing is brought forth to light as you get older. You do not see this thing in heaven's own light as a rule in the early dealings of God with you. But as you journey on through life, going into its evening time, when you have learned the meaning of that scripture, turn again, son of man, and thou shalt see greater iniquities than these, you find this thing is brought forth to light, and that is, grace is an emptying principle. What I mean is this. In the early dealings of God with you, in life's morning, you entertain thoughts, and they seem quite legitimate thoughts to entertain, that as you journey on through life, you will heap up together evidence upon evidence, tokens for good, helps by the way, answers to prayer, and the blessing of God being upon you here and there, and you will gather all these things together in your soul's experience and treasure them up, and thus you will rejoice to feel the good work is indeed begun and being carried on. And there is that viewpoint of the dealings of God. But what you learn is this as you get older in the life divine, that you have to look within, and instead of seeing all these things which are seeable, when at times you do remember the way the Lord thy God has led thee, instead of seeing all these things that you thought you would treasure up and always keep your eyes feasting upon them as the possession God had granted you to evidence you a pilgrim to Canaan bound, what do you see? If I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild. Full of unbelief and sin, can I deem myself a child? And now you have a thing brought to light. You have sung it, but you have got to reduce it to practice. Nothing in my hand I bring. Not even my past experience that God has wrought and which is a reality and is the evidence he has begun the good work in me. But when you look within and say with the church, we cannot see our signs, then you are brought to where I told you dear Job was. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. And when you look within and you seem just empty, you understand the meaning of some scriptures then, because they are brought forth to light. Leave not my soul destitute, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, cast me not away from thy presence. And you come at length to this, Lord save, or I perish. And thus, you get right down to bedrock truth, and realize, like Jonah did, out of the belly of hell itself, salvation is of the Lord. And then, realizing that experience, there will be one more thing brought forth to light to encourage you still to hope in God. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And now, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth can speak. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. There you learn the truth. And there you can say amen to what you have believe long as a doctrine, salvation is of the Lord. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. And you learn this as you journey on into life, even in time. His oath, his promise, and his blood support me in the whelming flood, when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my help, my stay. The Lord help you to think on these things. Amen.
Hymn number 249. Tune Redeeming Love, number 720.
O love divine, how sweet thou art, when shall I find my willing heart or taken up by thee? I thirst and faint and die to prove the greatness of redeeming love, the love of Christ is me. 249.
Yeah.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon us and all who love the truth everywhere. Amen and amen.